We continue now with our program on the College of Santa Fe. Once again, today is the first day of the New Mexico legislature, and we are talking about what is actually going on at the College of Santa Fe above and beyond the crisis that's been in the news, but what are the actual programs that are going on there. Dana Levin is chair of the Creative Writing and Literature Department, and Robert Jessen is chair of the Liberal Arts and Interdisciplinary Studies Department. Welcome.
Hi.
Hello.
So, the Creative Writing and Literature Department, that's what you're the chair of. You're a working poet.
Yes.
And I guess, if I understand correctly, everybody in your department is not only a professor, but people who are publishing and who are really actively engaged writers.
Oh, yeah. The faculty in the Creative Writing and Literature Department is really extraordinary. We're all working writers. We're all publishing. Robin Rahm is our newest junior faculty member. She just published a memoir called The Mercy Papers.
Yeah, we just had her on the air.
Actually. Oh, okay, there you go. She got a front page New York Times book review. People gave her a 3 out of 4 stars. She got an A+ Entertainment Weekly. Mark Baer just finished a new novel that I just read that will come out for publication in the next year or two that's really extraordinary. All of us are writing and publishing, and we're a very well-honored faculty in terms of awards and fellowships and things like that. I just finished a Guggenheim fellowship while on sabbatical last year. And so, you know, maintaining a writing life at the same time that we're teaching is really important, because we're teaching students to be writers, and we're constantly talking to them about what it is to have the life of the working writer. We help them with publishing. We help them, sort of give them a little taste of what it is to negotiate that world.
So it's really different than a more what you might call academically focused program, which is about maybe learning the great masters and doing some writing, but you may or may not ever get published.
Well, we do encourage and teach the great masters, and half of our program is literature requirements, because you do need to know the history of your medium, and for creative writing, that's the history of literature. Those are literature courses. But it's true that there is something special about having a working writer teaching literature, because there's just a little bit of an extra oomph that can come into the classroom in terms of, well, what was it really like for this person to work on this piece? You know, what was it like for William Faulkner to be a night watchman at a factory working on his book As I Lay Dying? And then, you know, to be able to sort of talk about that, well, how come he had to work in a factory? Well, because he needed a job. But see, this is how he kind of worked it out, you know. And having some insight into the labor, the difficulties, the joys of the writing process, and being able to talk about that in terms of reading the great works of literature is special.
What has it been like for your students to be in this program and doing everything they're doing under you and the other faculty members during this crisis time?
Our students have been really extraordinary. They have been supportive. They have been loyal. They have been sort of c'est la vie. Something that was very telling to me is looking at our numbers in Creative Writing and Literature Department. We only lost 4 students fall to spring. 3 of them we knew were leaving for various reasons that didn't have anything to do with the current crisis at the college. And that's pretty amazing. That they're all coming back. They all want the school to stay alive. They all love being in the Creative Writing and Literature Department for the most part. You always have a student that's like, I don't know. But we have an extraordinary freshman class. That's actually kind of the tragedy of all of this, and why I hope we end up having a school, because it's just a spectacular class, both in terms of talent and who they are as people. They love working together. They want to do things out in the community. They want to get to know Santa Fe. They really want to take advantage of the city, and they want to do things like teach in elementary schools and middle schools, which is things that we've done before with our students. And I hope they have a school to come back to.
Something that I've been wondering is, in this world where supposedly young people don't do anything but play video games and nobody reads anymore and they write, you know, text messages where not even all the letters are there, much less complete sentences, what's the nature of their kind of literary imagination and ability to write at this point?
Well, it's kind of different between the poets and the fiction writers. Often at the lower division freshman and sophomore, the fiction faculty encounters students who learn narrative from TV and video games and movies. And so a lot of what happens at the lower division is expanding and enhancing their their knowledge of what they have available to them in terms of plot and narrative and how to move a story forward and all that kind of stuff. I have a faculty member who jokingly wanted to put a moratorium on vampire stories. But, of course, but you know, here's Stephanie Meyer with her Twilight series, you know, being very popular and very lucrative and all that kind of stuff. So we're always trying to figure out how to get a balance between what the students are interested in doing and what they come in knowing, and then how to enhance that knowledge and get them to see that literature is a huge universe. There's not just one way of going about telling a story.
I suppose everybody has to start where they are.
Exactly.
And start with what they know.
Yeah.
But then how do you, you know, as a poet, as a teacher of literature, lead them in directions that really take them to places that they don't know?
Well, Robin Rahm took a really interesting tack with the vampire stories where, you know, first she said, okay, no more vampire stories. And there was an uproar in the class, and she said, okay, you can have vampire stories, you can have werewolves, but they have to have emotional complexity. And they have to have psychological depth. So, you know, and actually, those could be really interesting stories to read,
right,
you know.
Right, the reasons why they want
yes.
to put their fangs into your neck.
Well, exactly, and to just think about, you know, okay, you want to have a vampire as a main character, you want to have a werewolf, great, they need to have a life, you know, they need to have a psyche, you know, all that kind of stuff. The poets...
Did it work?
I don't know, I'll have to ask her.
Yeah.
This was towards the end of the semester, I don't know how those stories went. But and with the poets, you know, most of the time the guys come in sounding like Kerouac and Ginsberg, and the women come in sounding like Plath. And so then what you
is
need...
Is that right?
Oh, it's still true. It is so amazing. And, you know, so then... And then you also have sort of a third way of a performance-oriented poetry. And so what you want to do with those kids is just say, wow, this is great that you've come in like this, and here is the whole world of contemporary American poetry, which is vast and diverse, and let's see what kind of tools these other kinds of writers have to offer you.
Once they get past the Plath and Kerouac thing, which I find fascinating that those are the...
Still, I know.
Those are the, I mean, it's, those people are so long gone. I mean, they were long gone when I was an undergraduate. What that they have never heard of before that you bring to them are for historically, in the history of literature, are your students really grooving to?
They tend to get really, really boggled and excited by Gertrude Stein, believe it or not. These are generalizations. You know, I just taught my advanced poetry class with seniors, and one of the things I do in that class is let's look at the scene right now, and let's look at first books, because those are the people that are closest in age to you. And they got really excited about this poet named Michael Dickman, who's just really extraordinary. And his first book is coming out in the spring. The New Yorker is going to do a big profile on him and his brother because they're twins and they're both coming out from the same press. So that could be an interesting story. But just sort of having an understanding of, you know, poetry has gone through many changes over the last 20 years, and kind of trying to understand basically the main issue they're all dealing with is, I'm really interested in linguistic pyrotechnics, but I still want to say something that's available. How do I manage those things?
Right.
Because the contemporary poetry world, in a general way, there's sort of a divide between what is accessible and what is difficult. And all the students in my advanced poetry class wanted to figure out how to meld wonderful difficulty, like, you know, weird language, while still having an availability of content and a speaker that could be located in the poem, and
right.
It's not just a series of non sequiturs. And some really great poetry came out of that experience.
Dana Levin is the chair of the Creative Writing and Literature Department at the College of Santa Fe. What a great little window into the department.
I hope it was interesting.
Let's turn to Robert Jessen. He is the chair of the Liberal Arts and Interdisciplinary Studies Department at the College of Santa Fe. That's a mouthful.
It is a little hard to say, and we actually don't say it every day in the department. We just say
Thank
Liberal
Thank goodness.
Arts.
You wouldn't do anything else.
We're Liberal Arts in the core, because we're also responsible for delivering the core now.
What does that mean, the core?
The core is what the college wants every student to graduate knowing about the liberal arts. So about, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, we got together and completely redesigned the core. We made these big things called MAPS, where faculty team taught in these things, 3 faculty in 1 class, 9 credits, and it was a lot to do. And we redone the core again this year. And the core has been homeless until this last year, because part of what we had to do to make the school survive last year was to collapse a lot of the sort of classic liberal arts and sciences into one department. So we had humanities, and Dana was chair of the humanities and creative writing. It used to be part of her bailiwick. We were social sciences, and then sciences and conservation studies also got collapsed into liberal arts and interdisciplinary studies. Some majors went away in order to adapt to the situation.
The vicissitudes.
Yeah, the exigencies. Humanities as a major has gone away. English is English.
Let's talk about the programs that exist, because you and I have talked before, and you're mm-hmm. doing some amazing work over there. Ever since I was a little kid, when you go to college and people say you're going to major in art or art history or history, who cares about that? What are you going to do with that? Give us the real reason that liberal arts and interdisciplinary studies are so important for young people.
Oh my gosh. That's the key question that we spend 16 weeks answering the first class that students take, so that they, it's kind of like waking people up.
So you can't do it in the next 5 minutes?
In the next 5 minutes, I can take a running start at it, take a jab at it. What happens is students come to class or come to school thinking they know everything, and the liberal arts starts to open their minds, liberal meaning free, not in the Bush version of freedom, but in terms of your mind's version of freedom, of finding out what's going on. And the strong programs that we have now are politics, psychology, which has art therapy in it, and we also have a major which is still left over from science, which is global ecology and politics. So that students, after they graduate, go out knowing what's going on in the world. And, you know, this was a huge year for politics. And so how could you have lived this year without knowing something's going on in politics? And so that's what the liberal arts does. It actually creates people who should make good citizens, good people in the community. A lot of parents come and say, well, how can my son get a job with that? And, you know, we'll say some business ease thing about, well, nowadays people change careers 5 or 6 times, and that first job that they get isn't going to be the last one. And the liberal arts training that they get and the kind of thinking and the kind of writing that they do with us allows them to adapt to all those sorts of things. And one little story to explain this too. Last year I was part of the group that went to visit Savannah College of Art and Design, and I went toe-to-toe with their chief operating officer about liberal arts and the arts. Because if you look at their curriculum, they have 2 political science classes, American politics and American politics. Nothing about anything international. So they're graduating people who know design and who know music. They have a fantastic architecture program, green architecture, but they don't offer anything in environmental studies. So if you really want to know, then you can do that. And I had a student who graduated several years ago who I was telling this to, and he said, well, they're graduating people who can get their first job, and we're trying to graduate people who can become leaders in their field.
Leaders is a very important concept, because leadership means being able to understand a lot of different types of people and a lot of different types of ideas.
Right, exactly. And recent graduates, we have Lizzie Lyons, who's working in Santa Fe as director for the First Contact Street Outreach Program. A lot of activism comes from the students in the political science program. And by the way, people don't come to the college to study political science. It happens while they're here.
They get politicized, they get interested, they get engaged.
Because of the core, they have to take a couple politics classes, and they say, wow, that seems kind of important. And then they take another class, and then they say, I think I'll double major with MOV or creative writing. We have a lot of students double majoring creative writing and politics.
What's your own area of expertise?
I study Latin American politics, developing countries, and environmental politics. So I've been key with trying to keep environmental studies
alive. All of which
alive.
Are very much related.
Yeah.
That's part of the whole liberal arts thing, though, is everything is related. You can't just do one thing. It's that old parable about the elephant. That if you just, you know, if you stick within your disciplines, you'll think the whole world is a rope or a trunk, and it's not. It's an elephant.
Exactly. So Robert Jessen is the chair of the Liberal Arts and Interdisciplinary Studies at the College of Santa Fe. Dana Levin is the chair of the Creative Writing and Literature Department. How are your students? We just heard about Dana's students. Are they Are they good writers? Are they good thinkers? Or how are they doing?
We have an amazing range of students at the college. A lot of them have been brilliant for a long time, but they haven't had a way of showing it, or they haven't realized that they've been brilliant. My undergraduate was at Dartmouth College. I did my PhD at Northwestern. And we have students here who could easily excel at both of those schools, who couldn't get into those schools. But because of their minds and because they sort of wake up and they see what they can do, they start really flourishing in that way. In terms of adapting to the crisis, our students have already sort of, we were tenderized initially because of the collapsing into the one department, but we're still getting new majors every year, every day. I have a student who came undecided, very bright young woman from New York who was in my core class, and she emailed me over the break and said, I want to be a political science major. And that's just, you know, keeps on going on. Everybody's saying, is there going to be a major next year? Is there going to be a major next year?
And well, so it that's probably would be if we're Highlands.
So anyway, so Robert Jessen and Dana Levin, thank you so much for being with us. We're going to continue talking about two people from the College of Santa Fe in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Thank you very much.